Ed was here last week, for those of you who weren't, who missed it. And I hope you were encouraged by his coming. I hope you found some encouragement in that. And I want you to know the reason that I invite Ed to come, the reason I ask him, is not so you can get a word. I mean, I want you to get a word, but that's not the reason. The reason I invite him is because I want to charge your faith. See, Ed just walks in something he believes he can walk in. You can walk in something you believe you can walk in. We're constantly waiting for somebody else to step in and be the one. You're the one. You just need to walk in it. You just need to step into it. The truth is, the supernatural always gives birth to the supernatural. You start seeing a prophet operating, and prophecy will start to rise up in you. You know, one of the things I was so jazzed about, I shared it with the Wednesday night crew, oftentimes when a prophet comes, no tongue will come or no interpretation will come or anything like that, because we're just all afraid we're going to get it wrong. And we don't want to look bad in front of the man of God. But you know what? That isn't at all what happened, right? The word came, the interpretation came. I want you to know just how sweet that is. This is the proper operation. This is how these things work. But I also want you to be aware of something else. When the word comes, sometimes it stirs up things. Sometimes it stirs up things in you that aren't so good. Sometimes it brings light to things that you're not happy about it bringing light to. Sometimes it challenges your faith and it takes you to a place where you feel like maybe you're behind the curve, or maybe you feel like you should be doing something else, or I could fill oars all day long. And I want you to know this is why oftentimes pastors remove the gifts from the church. It's not that they don't believe in the gifts. They just simply have removed their operation from the church. The truth is, they're messy. They cause problems. Well, Jesus doesn't cause problems. No, but he operates through men. And men and women cause problems. Two ladies sit on the front row, and they prophesy that the building needs to be painted. And the other goes, yes, that's it. Well, they didn't get a word from God. They want the building painted. I have seen situations where words have come, and they've deeply wounded people. They've hurt people. They've set people's lives back a long ways. Other times words come and they encourage and catapult you to the next place. So as a pastor, I'm left with two choices. I can make life very clean and simple and just remove the gifts from the church. But what right do I have to do that? I don't have a right to do that. It's his church, not my church. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads and guides the church, not me. He is the one who brings forth the word. He's the one who brings forth healing. He's the one who does all these things. So, I want him to have his way in his church. And I want you to know that this church is a teaching church. It's kind of like a sandbox. I love that term. It's a place where you are free to practice and walk in faith. And the gifts, and prophecy, and healing. And it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay. Because we are learning how to operate in the gifts. This is a place where you can exercise your faith. And so I invite Ed, because I want your faith to become charged. And I want you to go, I should be prophesying. It's what Paul said. He said, I would that you would all prophesy. So now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to operate at a super high level. But you got to start somewhere. So you got a word. Now what? I love that. Today I just want to talk about some practicals. What do you do with a word when you get a word? How, what, why? There's so many questions that come up when you get a word. And I think it's important that we take the time to go over those things. For the sake of clarity, I'm breaking it up into just kind of 7 points. That way you won't get confused which points belong to which ones if you're a note taker. I can't really take notes. I'm so busy writing notes, I don't hear what's being said. So suit yourself. The first thing I want you to realize about prophecy, you need to understand about prophecy. Prophecy is for the edification and the building up of the church. That's what prophecy's for. It should build up. You should leave encouraged. Now, the rule in our church is that everybody is free to give a word. You're free to give a word. That word must be encouraging, must be edifying, must be uplifting. If it's not, keep it to yourself. Now, there are times when you're going to move out of this place of basic prophecy and you're going to move into a place of higher levels of prophecy. And at that point, what you would do, we've talked about this before, you need to give that word to me before you give it to the group. Or you need to give that word to me before you give it to a specific person. If it's directional, if it's correctional, those types of words need to come through leadership first. That's just how that works. Now, with Ed, he constantly operates in this office. It doesn't mean he always gets everything right, but what he does do, he tries to sandwich correction and direction between encouragement. So I'll give you some encouragement. I'll give you kind of what the Lord's saying about where you need to go, and I'm going to give you a little bit more encouragement. Now, that doesn't always come out that way, and I'm very careful to listen to these things when they come. Sometimes the things that I think aren't very correct, or clearly I heard correction, but I didn't hear a lot of edification. I didn't hear a lot of building up. But I watch the person to see if there is some building up, to see if they're leaving hurt or full of pain. Prophecy should never leave you full of pain. If prophecy does leave you full of pain, just toss it out. Just toss it out. Because the Bible says that it will bring edification. It'll bring encouragement. The next thing I want you to realize, when you try to compare an Old Testament prophet to a New Testament prophet, it's a little hard to do because you're kind of comparing apples and oranges in some ways. The standard rule for an Old Testament prophet, if you're wrong, goodbye. Bye-bye. You're going to get stoned. In the New Testament, it's not that you just get right to get it wrong. You don't get a license to get it wrong. So don't hear that. But you have to understand that the prophet has the risen spirit living in them all the time. And the person, you guys, you have the spirit living in you, right? You have a way and a means to weigh the word that's coming, yes? By the spirit that's alive in you. In the Old Testament, often the people receiving the word didn't have that option. And you have to remember that the prophet, the Holy Spirit would rest on them for a time. And then leave. And then be on for a time and then leave. What you need to understand about prophecy, about a false prophet is not a prophet who got it wrong. A false prophet is a prophet who speaks by the wrong spirit. Do you understand? If you think back to Acts chapter 16, there's this little servant girl. She's following Paul around, and she's saying, "These men are showing you the way to salvation." And it says this, it says, "This troubled Paul for many days." Why many days? Well, she was prophesying accurately. He was showing them the way to salvation. It was kind of like a free blurb on the radio, right? Everybody is hearing the story and he's getting some free advertising. But it was troubling him. Why was it troubling him? Wrong spirit. It wasn't resonating with him, wasn't witnessing with him. So he turned around and he cast the spirit out. Now, had that been the Spirit of God, what would have happened? Nothing. But it wasn't the Spirit of God. It was the wrong spirit. I want you to know, wrong spirits can prophesy quite accurately. Quite accurately. This is why I don't mess around with horoscopes and things like that. They have no place. There's one place I get my word from. One place. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's the only one I want to hear words from. Sometimes New Testament prophecy is very confusing. It seems like it's just plain wrong. Now, I don't mean inaccurate. I mean it just is a word that never should have come. It seems like its purpose is wrong. It seems like it came for the wrong reason. It's confusing. Sometimes it just seems counterproductive. Turn to Acts chapter 21. You're all familiar with this one. Acts 21, verse 10. I think I will always love hearing the pages turn. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. After we'd been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." Now I have to tell you, a prophet comes, recognized prophet comes, takes your belt off you, ties his own hands and feet up, and says, "In the same way, the owner of this belt's going to be tied." Is that encouraging to anybody? Does it seem like it's helpful to Paul in his ministry? Do you look and think, "Oh, well, Paul got this word, now he's ready to go"? No. In fact, it seems quite counterproductive. But you have to understand that the prophecy comes to the person, right? So everybody else looked at that word and it didn't mean anything to them, but it did to Paul. Paul already had a word what was going to happen. Paul had already been told he was going to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen. And this word was simply confirming what he already knew. "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I know what I have to do. And I'm ready to go do it." The word wasn't for all the people around. It was for him. So you have to be careful when you're analyzing all these things. I've actually seen situations where the exact wrong word comes. It is totally wrong. Completely wrong. And it brings about that which God intends it to bring about. So Ed told me a story once about a guy he prophesied over. He prophesied over the pastor and he prophesied over the assistant pastor. And he told the assistant pastor, "By the word of the Lord, I can see you're a good man. I can see you love your wife. I can see that you have been upright in every possible way." He wasn't a good man. He was sleeping with his secretary, the church secretary. He was the assistant pastor. Everything he said was totally wrong. And so when the pastor of the church took him out to lunch, he goes, "Man, you got them all right, but that one wasn't even in the ballpark. Everything you said was completely wrong." And about a month later, Ed gets a call back from the pastor. And he said, "It's the most amazing thing. After you spoke that word over him, he became broken. He left his mistress. He stepped down from his position at the church. He's getting counseling. He's been reestablished with his wife. And they're getting counseling." I just have to say, It was totally the wrong word, and yet God used it to accomplish that which he had to accomplish. So I don't always understand why the word comes, and it's never my position to defend the word. I don't have to defend the word. If the prophet is speaking by the Spirit of God, it sorts itself out. So, rule one, when we are talking about prophecy, don't chase prophecy. Don't chase, that's rule number one. If this really is a word from God, it will take care of itself. You don't need to make it happen. Sometimes people feel this need to reorganize their life to make everything sort out so the word can come about. Yeah? You look at your life and you go, maybe I better stop doing this and start doing that so this word can come up. You remember Ishmael? How'd that work out? I'm just saying, God does not need you to bring his word about. If this is a word of the Lord, it will come about, and it will come about in his time. Now, the second point of prophecy, personal prophecy, that is a direct word to you, almost always is conditional to two things. Almost always. It's conditional to your obedience. It's conditional to your faith. That is, you do have to believe. You have to believe it if you want to receive it. Let me give you a couple of examples. You remember Mary? May it be unto me according to what the Lord has said. Now, I don't understand how you're going to pull all that off, because don't make no sense to me. But what did Zechariah say? How do I know this will come to pass? See, Zechariah didn't believe the word, and Mary did. Neither of them understood how it was possible. One applied faith, and the other did not. Sometimes it is conditional to a response, and sometimes when the word comes, one of your words may have come with a condition, if you will. Remember what Moses told the children, again, by the voice of God? If you will, choose this day, life or death. And if you choose life, all these blessings are going to come upon you. And if you choose death, all these curses are going to come upon you. Do you realize to this very day, they are still living through the curses they chose? They just haven't come to completion yet. The word always comes about. Going to get me a slower clock. Point three. You need to understand that almost always, in the high 90th percentile, prophecy is outside of any reference of time. So God said he's going to do thus and so. That doesn't mean he's going to do it this afternoon on your way home. One of my favorite examples is Jesus saying, "Behold, I come quickly." 2,000 years ago, he said that. Somebody's confused. Now turn to Psalm 105. Verse 16. Now you are all familiar with this because you know the story of Joseph, and we just read through Psalms. Psalm 105, verse 16. He called down a famine on the land, that is, God did, and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, and his neck was put in irons, until what he, that is, what God, had foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Sometimes the word of the Lord will prove you true. See, he gave a word to Joseph. He, he gave him a dream, and he saw his father and mother and his brothers bowing down before him. He was told he was going to be a ruler. Hey, Mom, Dad, guess what? I'm going to be the ruler. What? Go clean the barn. Oh, not today, you ain't. But what happened? Next week, he was the ruler. No, 20 years later, he was the ruler. 20 years later, and a lot of hardship came. The word of the Lord was testing him. And he gets right up to the end. He gets right up to that point where the vision comes from the baker and the cup. Thank you. I was thinking the wine guy, and that just didn't sound right. The cupbearer. And what's he do? He says, when you get there, you remember me to the king. Oh, no. See, you're not ready yet. So now you're going to need some more time to kind of sit there. And the word of the Lord continues to test until you're ready. And then the day came, and when he stepped up, see, now there was nothing in him. He was now ready. The word of the Lord will test you. And sometimes that's in your own hands. How many times are you going to go around the mountain? I don't know. For some people, you just watch him. It's like, you are going to take another lap, aren't you? Are you serious? Yep, here we go. We're loading up. We're going to do it again. All right, well, let me know when you get back. Sometimes the word seems to be fully wrong before it comes right. For Joseph, the word seemed to be fully wrong, completely wrong. But then it became completely right. Now, the last example I gave you, the word was completely wrong and it never became right. It just brought about right. Sometimes the word is completely wrong. Appears to be completely wrong, and then later it turns out it wasn't wrong at all. It was 100% accurate. It just took time for that to happen. One time I prophesied over a man and I said, you are going to be an amazing pastor. And within 6 months he was into a cult. And then doesn't even believe in Jesus. Okay, it doesn't seem to me like that word has really come to good fruit. But I want you to know I continue to pray over that because I believe that that word was set forth to accomplish something. Now, it's not my job to make it accomplish, but I believe it. To this day, I believe it. And I believe you will see that actually happen because I believe it. All right, point four. God is lavish. He is incredibly generous with everything except details. I'm going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. He just forgot to mention that it's owned by very large people who know how to fight. Well, it seems to me that was an important detail to leave out of the word. But you know what? If he'd have brought that point in, they'd have probably bolted. I don't think we need that. Things are pretty good here in Egypt. It was a time when God began to speak to me, and he said, there's a change coming in your life. And so I began to ask him for the details, and he just told me flat out, you'd be happier not knowing. If he told me I was going to be a pastor, I'd have bolted. Who wants that? A joke. But the truth is, it would have been a very heavy, scary thing for me. And I would have had a hard time stepping into it. By walking and trusting in him and just letting him lead me and guide me wasn't a hard thing at all. It's the difference. So when he doesn't give you a lot of details, sometimes you just need to trust him that it's okay not having all the details. Ignorance truly is bliss much of the time. At the end of that whole story, only two entered by faith. Everybody else died. Two entered by faith. Paul said this. He said, we see in part and we prophesy in part. Rarely do you get the whole story when your prophecy comes. Point five. Prophecy must always be tested. Prophecy must always be tested. If the Lord speaks a word to you in your heart, it needs to be tested. If I speak a word to you, needs to be tested. If a good friend speaks a word to you, it needs to be tested. And just because somebody has a big name or a big status or whatever does not mean that today is the day we don't test prophecy. We always test prophecy. There is a peace that passes all understanding. And when a word comes, if that peace accompanies that word, you're on the right track. If there's a peace and a joy, you just know this is God. I look for that. I look for the inner witness. Now again, some of my friends in the Old Testament, they didn't really have that opportunity, but I have the risen Christ alive in me. And I look for him to confirm a word that's been given me. I look for that confirmation. Now, I will admit that this is subjective, but it is still something that I constantly use. Some people call it a check in the spirit. Other people say it's a resonating. You can use whatever term you want. I expect Jesus to say yes and amen to his word if it's his word. I expect that. Now, I want you to know that words that don't resonate with you can still come true. In other words, you hear the word and you go, I don't know what that has to do with the price of tea in China. Or China. That is so far off in left field, I don't even know what to do with it. Words like that, I call it pigeonholing. I just set them on a shelf for some day, and maybe someday later they'll come back and make some sense to me. But I certainly don't worry about them, and I'm not going to orchestrate my life over something that doesn't make any sense. Now, there's other times when the word absolutely does not line up with Scripture. God said, I love you, and the word of the prophet was, God doesn't love you. I don't spend any time on those words at all. I just toss them out. That just wasn't God. If the spirit that is within me goes, dude, that ain't God, I just toss them out. I don't waste any time with them. The ones that I hang on to loosely are the ones that they don't really witness with me, but they don't contradict anything either. Does that make sense? That's not too complicated, is it? There are no exceptions to a word that contradicts the written word of God. If it contradicts what is written in the word, toss it out. Just a bad prophecy. And it's that simple. And that's on you. You need to know enough of the word to be able to say this is good or this isn't good. Now, sometimes when you're testing a word, God will give you a sign. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Whew, there he is, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger? Who would have thought that? The virgin will be with child. Well, that don't happen. What happens is a sign comes. And sometimes the prophet will say, this will be a sign to you. This is how you know it'll come to pass. Sometimes not. Sometimes, and you see this a lot with Ed, this is something that's kind of a way he does things. Oftentimes he'll give you a word of knowledge. That is, he'll tell you something about yourself, a nature that is in you, that others may know or that they may not know. But for you, it's encouraging to know he's on the right track. Sometimes the word stops right there. In other words, he just gives a word of knowledge. And you think, well, that was kind of benign. But you watch some people. Just watch what happens when the word comes. For them, they didn't need direction. They didn't need guidance. They just wanted to know that God is paying attention. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows my nature. And they just melt before the Maker because they know God's got their number. So, word of knowledge comes. Sometimes part of the prophecy will come very quickly. A piece of it will come very quickly. So you know the balance of it that was said that's about to follow is coming too. They're just things you use on the path. One thing I have found true in my own life of real prophecy, the prophet will give me a word and it'll come true. And 3, 4, 5 years later, it'll come true again, only at a much higher level. And 3, 4, 5 years later, it'll come true again at even a higher level, a deeper fulfillment, a greater fulfillment. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, Elijah will come. Well, Jesus come. Turns out it was John the Baptist. He was the Elijah. There is a greater fulfillment of that coming later. There's a good fulfillment, a better fulfillment, a great. True prophecy tends to be pregnant and it grows. Now, rule 6. Prophecy regarding life decisions. This needs to be confirmed. It needs to be confirmed. I typically look for it in multiple ways. I look for multiple confirmations. If I get a word that I'm supposed to uproot my family and move to New Jersey, there's going to be lots of confirmation. Fleeces all over my front yard. Well, that's not being a man of faith. No, but you know what? It is being a man of faith. I expect, if this is true, I need to know. Now, don't confuse directive prophecy with exhorting prophecy, right? So if I'm saying, Jesus, Marlene, Jesus loves you, you don't need to test that word. Jesus loves you. Everything you know points to Jesus loves you. You get a word that you need to reorchestrate your life or that something's going to change, that we do need to test. One of the easiest things to do is submit the word to your pastor. Now, your pastor doesn't even have to be a prophet. He has an anointing in your life to keep you safe. That's all you have to do. Man, this guy gave me this word and it's like, well, I don't understand it, but it sure rings true with me. Or, yeah, I don't know where you got that, but that's not good. Friend, this is why, you know, people say, well, we should just put lots of ads in the paper so everybody can know Ed's coming and we just really pack the place out. Yeah, but most of these people don't have any leadership in their life. I take this seriously. I don't want people getting a whole bunch of words and then having them reorchestrate their lives over a word they got that they don't have anybody to weigh it with. You need to weigh your word. Now, point 7. When you get a word, this word is for you to wage a good warfare. You can fight with a word that you get like this. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he said, wage a good warfare by the prophecies given you. See, I have the word of the Lord. It is the sword of the Spirit, my Bible. And I fight with this in prayer. I fight with this like crazy. It is written. That's how I fight. And the word comes and it confirms everything that's happened. And now, this prophecy has taken the written word and brought it to life for me. It becomes alive. And I fight at a much higher level because of what this word did. Remember the old saying? Speak to your mountain and it will grow. Speak to it. Speak about it, it grows. Speak to it and it will go. The sword is the word of God, right? This is what the Bible is, and we see in Revelation the sharp two-edged sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. That's the word of God. Do you realize that His word in your mouth is the same sword coming out of your mouth? It's the same sword. A prophetic word like this amplifies your faith. And Janine, can I share? I so love Janine. Well, most of you heard it. I just so love Janine's prophecy. It was just such a wonderful prophecy to me. The word was that her whole family would be saved. Well, now, that is fully in line with what the gospel says. Fully in line with what the gospel says. It's fully in line with everything you know in your heart and probably fully in line with everything you're already asking Him for. So, I have many things I can fight with, but now this word comes. Now I can lay hold of the handle. It's an impressive place to be able to fight from. So, what does Janine do? She takes the word of the Lord that she already knows. She takes her heart, the compassion that's in her, and she takes the word that came prophetically. Father, you said, me and my whole house. You said that. And then you said it to me personally. Man, I can lay hold of that. Faith begins to rise up in me. Something starts to change. Now, in order to do that, you have to be sure of what was said. This is why I email the words that came out. It's why I email them to you. You need to go through them 2, 3, 4 times. You'll hear things differently as you listen to them a couple of times. Try to detach from what you want and just listen to what was said. You should write it down. You will find out in almost all cases you did not hear all of it. Almost all cases, you heard one or two things and you lit on those things and you missed everything else. It's okay, that's how these things work. But this is how you wage a good warfare, by the prophecies given you. Let me close with this. We are never, never, ever led by prophecy. We're led by the Holy Spirit. He is alive in you. He is active in you, and He will lead you on the right path. There is no need to chase a prophecy. Victoria, can I share some of yours too? This to me was just one of the sweetest prophecies. It was awesome to me. I enjoyed it so much. In a nutshell, what he said is, you're planning thus and so. This is what your plan for your life is. And it's not going to work out that way. Oh, well, great, then I just need to start over. No, and then he said this. He said, you just make your plans and God will begin to direct your path. Man, that's it. You make your plans and God will direct your path. There's no need to get Ishmael involved, right? You do not need to reorganize your life. You go on with the path you had, and as you walk in that path, God will begin to lead you and guide you by the integrity of His heart. His word becomes a lamp unto your feet. And then when you reach that place where it starts to turn and it starts to go a little different than you thought, you're going, oh, the man of God told me this was going to happen. And now instead of trying to get the bus back on the tracks, I'm just riding the bus. It's beautiful to me when things like this happen. But don't chase prophecy. Don't chase prophecy. Also, don't hesitate to bring the word that you got to your leadership. In most cases, that's me. That's what I'm here for. If there's something that you got in your prophecy that makes you nervous or upset or concerned, let's work through it together. Sometimes part of the prophecy is good, and sometimes you just toss out the rest. Sometimes you need to pigeonhole the rest. We talk about that. And that way, you can move forward in the right way. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your life in us. And thank you, Father, for speaking to us. Thank you, Father, that you are a living God, active and working in our lives every day. Father, I bless my friends who are here now. Father, I pray that you would help them lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.